Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Bean.
I'm Wing.
And I'm Lobster. There was an idea to make a Russian knockoff of the Avengers. 2017's Guardians was not a box office hit, but it represented an original attempt to recreate some of the success of American superhero films, typified by the Marvel Cinematic Universe, for another nation's audience. Using archetypes from the comic book genre, Guardians assembles a fantastic group of individuals with superhuman abilities and pits them against a mad scientist bent on world domination. Sound familiar? In the end, does Guardians manage to tear down this wall of cliches, or do all of its superheroics get lost in translation? Gentlemen, this is on Amazon streaming in the English dub format. So I just want to specify for our listeners what it is we watched this week.
Can I be honest?
You're so lucky, man. I watched that in its original Russian.
I looked at like three different websites, and there were two places I had to pay for it from for the subtitled. And then I happened to go, screw it, I'll check Amazon. And I was like, free? Dubbed?
Yeah.
I am in there.
And
it was still... this is why we won the Cold War. This is why we won the Cold War.
But they won the 2016 election, so...
They did, but, I mean, it's still horse of peace, because they're idiots, just like he's an idiot. And, I mean, they made triple their money at the box office, but...
I guess, when your budget is $5-6 million,
This is like...
That costs nothing. It's crazy. Thought, probably people worked on it for free at gunpoint.
I mean, it looks like a video game cutscene, so...
But the trailers actually made it look... entertaining.
Here's the thing.
Okay, this movie is a trailer. This movie, there is no character development.
No,
every single line is to set up a beat, to set up an action beat, to set up some kind of like drama. Dun 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 music. It's, dun dun dun. Like every bit of this movie is literally just a trailer for whatever the hell this is supposed to become. There's even, and this drove me absolutely crazy, there's a mid-credit sequence. There's a stinger.
Before then.
Oh, I know. But I watch just to see. I'm like, I bet they are gonna rip every page out of the Marvel playbook and steal that idea too. And they did.
The best thing were those fucking robots in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
I don't agree. The best thing is the old thing. The old thing is amazing. Give a writing class to a 5 years old. You explain to him like a couple of principles as the following. You need a 3-act structure.
Yes.
You need to have bring back the good guys together.
Yep.
A villain.
Yep.
And then put some action sequence in there. Don't forget Chekhov's gun.
Have them lose. Have them have to come back. Give them new outfits. Have a training montage.
Script sample. Like when they send you a studio, send you a sample of what they call the model. This is it.
This is the model.
This is the name. It's a Mad Lib movie.
The moment when I like screamed. This actually happened very early when they're like, what do we call them? She looks at the friggin' camera. She looks at the camera and then it goes, da da da, Guardians. That's the thing. Like,
but did you notice again
thing.
In the first like 3 minutes of the movie, they did it twice in case you didn't catch it that it was Guardians earlier. They did it again.
Guardians.
Oh, yeah, they're like, trying to sell it to it, you.
Okay, so I see exactly what Wing is saying, because this is literally paint by the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
This is, okay, these are the boxes we have to check, okay?
Sexy. But their superpowers barely make any sense.
No, wait. They have the superpower they have. They have a Hulk, basically.
The Russian bear man, so, for their audience.
They have some kind of Captain America.
Sorry, can you give me a second?
Yeah.
I want to pull something up that explains this. So, they're the four elements.
Right.
Okay.
Wait. What?
You have right. Okay. So you have
the metal stone one.
Oh, hold on. You have Land Man.
He's Stone Nito.
Okay. Yes, he is. He is Rock. I was like playing around with like Rachmaninoff or something.
No, you can't. That's too on the nose. Like it's.
I called him Geodude on my note.
Yep.
Okay. I like
so
that. I like
He's Landman.
Captain Planet.
And this is,
hang on, he's Captain Planet.
This is translated Captain. Yep. Uh-huh. This is translated black. From Russian, so I don't know like the exact, but it translates to Landman. Okay.
Ugh.
The right to arm bears is or what? Wait. Grizzly. Grizzly Adams. No. Let's play around with this some more.
He's like Grolk. He's Grizzly Hulk. He's
Grolk?
Okay,
Grizzly Hulk. Yeah.
Actually, he's Sasquatch. Simple as that.
But he's Bear Squatch. He's something there because he's more bear. Ursa Squatch? I don't know.
He's the Russian version of Sasquatch.
Yeah, but
the
Russian thing is bear. So Ursa. It's always Ursa.
Stand back because you don't want to get any of this on you.
You don't want to get any of this Ursa?
ready? Winnie the Punisher.
Oh.
Okay. So he is Wild Man. Okay.
Okay.
Do you seriously have a dartboard that you throw darts at to pick these?
Yeah. So the next one is Kid Flash or
the
Knives Chow.
Probably the coolest superpower.
It was wind. I knew that. It's like wind.
Sub-Zero, Scorpion. Like,
right.
He's all of those people. He's Wind Man. Okay.
But
so we've
not
got land, nature, wind.
Water girl.
And
water girl
that water
becomes
woman,
invisible
right?
in
so,
water.
Yeah. So,
but she's, and she's the best. Now, hear me out.
Invisible mermaid.
Hold on.
And she's Wolverine also.
Walk with me. She's the best actor that they have because she clearly knows some form of martial arts or knows how to fight because she's been in Russian gulags, so she knows how to like do fight scenes. She's the best at choreographed stuff.
Yep.
And she's a very pretty young woman, right? But
yep.
Out of all of them, she was the least used, even though she was the best on the screen. And it's so bad.
Okay, well, and then there's Sonya Blade, who's in charge of the group, right?
Nick Fury, yeah.
Nick Fury, and then all of her little minions. And then you
typical,
have...
Typical blonde Russian with the really red lips.
Mm-hmm. And then you have Victor Von Doomestein.
Oh my God, who can't even say anything on screen.
If you've watched the latest episode of Game of Thrones, Swole Varys is one thing that I've heard. Also, if you've seen Iron Man 2 and you remember...
oh, my God.
Ivan, what's his face? Whiplash? Vanko?
My bird.
Ivan Vanko?
My bird.
Yeah, dude. Hey, man. I want my bird.
I could see that.
Don't,
I could see
don't
that
get
more
attached
than,
to things.
More than the Swole
don't
Varys.
Get so attached to things. Yeah. So he's there, right? Like I said, this is paint by numbers. Fantastic Four. I think they are using some form of archetype within Russian
because
literature
the bear,
or culture. But,
for sure, the bear,
the
bear
and stuff. Right.
And I mean, there's got to be some other elemental parts to it that they're. Russian culture identifies with because this is so
I mean, if they did it Canadian, right, it would be a he'd be a moose, right? Like
it could
would
be have a bear, be, but it'd be no, more likely be a moose.
Because that exists, and you just have tree. To go. What is the Canadian team again?
Alpha Flight.
No, in Marvel.
Alpha Flight. Oh, Alpha Flight.
Yes, you're right. Alpha Flight. Sorry, Alpha Flight. You have like a Canadian man. I don't remember his name.
Captain Canuck.
Captain Canuck. Ugh. And then you have the guy Sasquatch, the nerd
Sasquatch,
that becomes Puck, a big white bear.
North Star, Snowbird.
Yeah, the girl that transformed into a bunch of animals, not just a bear.
I don't think his name is Captain Canuck. He's got another name, but
Vindicator.
I was surprised when Captain Bearman switched from half bear, half man.
To full bear mode.
Grizzly bear. Yep. I was like,
yeah, you never go full bear, man.
You never go full bear. No, if Tropic Thunder taught you anything, you don't go full bear. Winnie the Pooh walks on 2 feet, not a bear. Paddington, okay, likes, makes marmalade, not a full bear, okay? Don't go full bear.
As soon as he went full bear, he fell over and ran on all fours. He was a bear.
And I loved it.
Big bear. What I love in this is that it's so ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous.
But it's so tight that you go from one thing to another.
Okay, wait, until
it's an hour and a half. There's not a dull moment in it. It's absurd.
How bad is the non-dub? How bad is reading it?
It's bad because you want worse. The version I have is an auto dub. So I was reading out of Google translating the thing. So
you had a robot reading it?
Yeah.
Yeah, not reading it, but just writing it at the bottom. So basically I had phrase where him or her were enter, you know, same thing for the robot. So it was something to try to follow, and Russian is kind of backward from what we're used.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait, what?
English dub, some things they said, I'm like, I don't think that's what you actually mean.
Yeah, Russian is very sketchy that way.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but some of the like turns of phrase they use, I'm like, if you actually rewrote that and like, that's like the literal translation, but
no, that was bad. But it was worth it for the Russian accents.
This movie does not linger long on its bad parts, and there are a lot of bad parts.
It just keeps
rolling and. Like, oh my God, they're tearing down this thing, and they've got a satellite.
Question, though.
And then they can combine their powers, they can do this.
They have an American satellite rogue from the Reagan years.
That was a Russian, the Hammer.
No.
At some point, they evacuated and exploded all of Moscow.
You'd have to watch it again.
Oh, you know, the poor people who their homes have been destroyed.
In response,
the government paid for it. They sent for it after. Hang on.
It was in response to the Reagan Star Wars initiative. So it was their own version of Star Wars. That's why, of course, it was called Zihama, because Russia is hammer and sickle. God.
Yes.
Come on, bro. Keep up.
I thought they were doing the inverse GoldenEye.
I think they were, yeah.
Yeah, but so they were finding Russia. But yeah, okay.
But it's like it's so bad. It is. It's not so bad. It's good. It's not so bad. It's so bad. It's somewhat acceptable. But honestly, if you didn't have to watch it for this cast,
yes,
would you have finished it?
Yes, I would. I would watch this again.
I wanted to see how far they took it.
If you're the robot dude with the brain, don't you find some other way to make a transmitter?
Krang?
oh my God, thank you. I thought that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does look like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle
It does a lot, yeah. But the effects are not so bad that they're horrendous, but they're not great. I think they're on par with, you know, a mid-budget Michael Bay produced action movie, a la Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. Like,
yeah. They're just so...
It's right there.
There's just a touch surreal enough where it makes me feel uncomfortable. It's like Uncanny Valley, right? It just makes me feel uncomfortable.
Most of the stuff, like most of their superpowers are practical-ish effects, right? With the exception of the guy turning into the bear, like the knife guy, they just have him zip around. But when he's there, he's like himself, right?
Right.
That's
stuck effect. You can buy that effect. Right. It's not difficult to do.
The chick and then is just glowy.
Rockman, you know, does his thing, and he's got CGI rocks, but it's not hard to make CGI rocks, right? Like, and that T-1000 look that Water Girl has. That's
since 94.
Right, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's pretty basic, too. So the most they spend the money on, I think, are the robots and the rockets and stuff, and also blowing up the whole city. But I looked at it. I'm like, is that a miniature? Like, are they doing? Like, did they make a practical miniature city?
I don't think they did. No way.
That is the thing. I'm a huge fan of Skyline, so I recognize Moscow downtown right away. And then they're using the placement of these buildings to hang a transmitter, which is basically a huge pin that they take from somewhere.
That's a penis.
And moved, yeah, that's a giant phallus going from there, and they move it to there. And
we need to take out the ball right at the base.
To suspend it in the air between these buildings. And at the end, the whole downtown Moscow does not like one or two buildings. The whole downtown Moscow does not exist, and
it is a hole.
We saved Moscow.
We did it.
I just don't.
That's because Russia's so big, right? Like, I was a little disappointed that there was no reference to. We have this Russian dash cam video showing a man turning into a bear, you know.
But yeah, this thing is a paint-by-number kind of fun ride. You don't have the time to think they're moving to the next stupid thing.
Oh, they don't even do a fake out. Like, you get ready for this, I'll get ready for that. Like a simulation mode. All of a sudden, they're everywhere right away. There's no planning. Yep. It's we're here, we're killing people. We did the objective. Now it's on to the next one. We're here, we're killing people. It's on to the objective. Oh, we got kidnapped or we got caught. Okay, we busted out. Now we're here.
Oh no, we broke into their lair. Oh no, he broke into ours.
Right.
I'm gonna give the good guys a chance to join me instead of killing him.
Yeah.
Why?
Also, if you combine your powers, you can make a magic bubble that makes no freaking sense.
I was thinking right at that point. I'm like, so how are they gonna aim it? They don't even know what's going on. And then, boo! And I was like, oh. It just went through the bottom of it.
Also, let's hold hands like the end of Guardians of the Galaxy. It'll totally work.
God. It's a beautiful piece of
shit.
Can we say pastiche?
God bless you. What is that?
It totally is pastiche. So pastiche is when you take an established genre that has its own sort of language, right? Like Westerns, okay? So we can take a Western and then we can do, in Italy, we can make these cheap Western movies that are called spaghetti Westerns, right? And they play with all of the same visual code language, but it's a pastiche. It's a knockoff of the real thing, right? So this is looking at Marvel movies and saying, okay, this is what they do. They have this, and they set up this, and they do this, and then there's this threat, and then we establish this, and then we get the team together, and then people have tragic backstories, and then they fight, but then they lose, and then they have to come back together. And they get new outfits, and they train, and then they go, and then they almost lose again, and then the Deus Ex Machina happens, and then bam, post-credit stinger.
Yep. At this point, I was looking at the clock, not because I was bored, because when I realized by the 36th minute everybody was down, I was like, oh, they're just, okay. And I started having more fun, because I was like, okay, now I know exactly what's going to happen beat by beat.
As cheap as this fucker is, like, to look at and to watch, and I guess you guys still think it's really fun, but smashing it all together, this is still almost as good as Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Right. Right. Like, yeah. And it's three times less.
No.
Long. You know what I mean? Oh, like this is an way, hour and a half.
Yeah, but the cost. Like, I'm trying to look up the cost. Why can't I find the cost of that fucking pile? Like
$200 million at least, sure, right? Like, and but this is an hour and a half, and I totally want the bear man Gatling gun action figure. Like,
I will do that.
I want that merch. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I want the Asian dude that killed his brother with the swords. Like, that's a that's a cosplay I could do.
Yeah, so that would be great.
And you know, Gerard Butler with his rocks. Like, all of it is.
Wait, what?
The guy looks like Gerard Butler.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's not Gerard Butler. What the fuck,
man?
But
it looks like him.
Did I miss something?
Yeah. He did the submarine movie, and then he did this one, or vice versa. But, like, again, this is not a good movie. I am not defending this movie in terms of being original, being quality, but it is literally the Russians looking at us and saying, this is what we see. We look at your Marvel movies and we think story beat, action scene, backstory, action scene, booty shot.
Well, we think that too. You know? Oh, there was some nice booty shots.
Right. And then, like, that, and I feel like as the Russian audience, they don't care about story and character development and this and that. They're like, show me the thing where the guy fights the other guy. Like, let's see the bear man. Let's do this thing again.
Yeah, slow, it must slow be refreshing motion, to not have Captain America. No offense. You're Russian.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, the movie's great, but it's still Captain America defending New York. Yeah. So it's always defending New York. So
I mean, for once, they can
totally destroy Moscow.
And here's the thing. So if you want to compare it to Marvel, there is absolutely not a single joke in this movie, right? There's maybe one line where they make a joke about borscht. Like,
I make some good borscht.
And it's like, that's it. That is the closest it gets to giving you a laugh line at any point other than laughing at the utter ridiculousness of it. So
during the montage, they make visual joke and they wink at you.
There's a little bit of that, but the majority of this film is somber, grim. It's still fun, like it's still enjoyable, but they're not
serious about it.
They're so serious. My family's dead. Because now I don't age because of my superpowers, and I have no one left. I want you to call me Lur.
But
don't
that's call what make it work.
Yeah,
it's
that
they
that
take
is,
themselves
yeah.
so seriously.
So
seriously.
So I don't know. Like, it just seems to walk that line of this is utterly ridiculous, but we are going to treat it as it is like the most normal thing in the world. And I don't. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but. Come on, if you had to do a superhero movie, you had $5 million, an effect house, and no actor.
And if
what
I was in
do?
Middle school, oh, well, this is what I would have made.
I'll bet,
right?
you, I'll bet you a couple of these are big actors over there. But
probably.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
I mean, this came out on their Patriot Day or something, too.
So
Rotten Tomatoes, over under.
It
Rotten Tomatoes.
Bombed. 22.
Yeah, 30 on the tomato meter and 24 on the audience score.
Yeah. So, I guess that kind of makes sense. So, yes, they did release it on basically the 4th of July. It bombed at the box office. Like, the Russian audience did not flock to this. So, it was made for $5.4 million and earned $15 million at the international box office.
well, it made this money back.
I guess, yeah. But
I searched for a sequel. It's been canceled.
It definitely has, yeah. And even the main director doesn't want to do it. But the kind of interesting thing is they set up a sequel in the mid-credit scene. The mid-credit scene makes no sense, by the way. It's not a shawarma. It's just like some random thing that happens. And you're like, okay.
I think this is
a
perfect description.
The sequel was supposed to be set up in China. So.
Yes, so they were going to do like an international thing where like it's the Chinese Guardians and then the they bring, you know, we found other guardians and
So now I get this isn't completely accurate, but this is the best one I've read so far. It takes a basic formula of Marvel movies, strips away the characterization and wit, and delivers an entertaining but deeply stupid cheese fest.
Yes. I think this would be ripe for the MST3K
kind
of thing. Like, you could just do that. The problem is the movie goes so quickly that you can't really get in jokes, I don't think. You'd have to kind of take a break and be like, okay, can we talk about this for a second?
The anger pin between buildings. That's their big plan.
I know. Like, my biggest problem with it is that he can control all of the electronics on the planet.
That's actually a really cool superpower, and they film it really well.
They do. But his biggest thing is to control drones that control helicopters to take down a spire or the Binor transmitter or whatever. And, like, why wouldn't you just have a bunch of drones on the planet make some sort of transmit? I don't understand.
I think it would be cool if he could control machines, but not, like, big ones. But he could, like, attack you with a blender or, like, a toaster oven or something like that.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Sure.
Yep.
All right, let's rate this fucker. Anybody objected?
I think you know what to say.
Hang on, I got to find what you wrote for it. I will not edit this out. Are we rushing to rate this movie?
Wing, I think so.
Are you wing for Guardians of the Russian Front? Are you going legendary?
Guardians, gather.
Legend of its time.
Cold Warriors.
Cult legend.
The right to arm bears.
Awesome.
For the motherland.
Entertaining.
Kremlin with excitement.
Mabel.
Moscow meh.
Forgettable.
Unbearable.
I really like Moscow mules. Abysmal.
Putin out my eyes.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Guardians.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of full bear mode.
Full frontal bear.
Yeah. Bare-backed, as you said.
Well, this movie is on the back of this full bear mode, actually. Without full bear mode, this movie has nothing. This movie is one of those that goes so far that it goes from bad to fucking awesome. I love this thing. I'm gonna watch this thing again. It is so ridiculous. Now I need to watch the version. I want to see, to hear how that old thing turns out. I had so much fun for the slim, and we say hour and a half. That includes that's like a credit and a bunch
hour
of,
and a half.
It's an hour and 20 minutes, maybe. Maybe 15. And it's just going to go by. Just get a case of beer with a couple of friends. Drink a couple while you watch that before
some
you
vodka,
go.
To, I might say.
Before you vodka. Go to dinner. Vodka. This is just one of those. As we said, this could be MST3K really easily. So, yes, this was awesome to me. For the motherland.
Wow, for the motherland.
Beef.
I don't know what has happened over the last handful of years on this podcast, but there has been a paradigm and sensibility shift. And I don't know if I like being the new Frenchman, but this motherfucker was putting my eyes out, all right? Putin was all in my face. This was abysmal. This was...
He had his shirt off and everything.
I couldn't even... Right, he was riding a horse, holding his gut in, pale as fuck. I couldn't even forget this thing. You know what? Maybe it'd be better if we were all sitting together, like Wing said, and we were in Canada and we could smoke.
Fucking drunk.
Or we could drink a couple cases of shitty beer or a couple hot 12 packs of good beer. Just like have fun with it. But sitting by myself watching this, because the first trailers we saw of this, I had such high hopes. I'm like, this is going to be fun. This is going to be entertaining. But as someone who dated a chick from the Ukraine, like 12 or 18 months off the boat, she could have acted a million times better than this. And
she's not even Russian.
Yeah, I mean, well, Ukrainian, Russian, before they split up and hated each other, it was pretty much the same thing. It's like, you know, Wisconsin and Illinois breaking up. It's the same part of the area. But this doesn't do anything for me. Maybe I'll revisit it again in 10 years. This is not soldier horrible for me, but this is... no, Putin my eyes out. Lobster?
I admire this movie a lot. and I don't say that lightly because I think it's pretty bad. Like, for what it is, right? Like, if I was going to judge this as a movie with the yardstick of, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Avengers, all that, this is a bad movie, right? But I look at Fantastic Four, Fan4Stick, that we did back in January, right? And this movie is fucking coherent. It is tight. Like,
what a shot.
Every single thing that they set up,
the director's dog probably didn't eat up a house somewhere.
Right? Like, I can't explain how this movie works as well as it does. Right? As well as it does. That is not saying that it is good by our standards. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, good by our standards. But this movie is a trailer. Every shot in the movie is designed to be cut for press promotion.
Right? So good.
The trailer was so good, and all those shots are in the movie because the movie itself is a friggin' trailer. It's like I said, a middle schooler's wet dream of what a comic book movie should look like.
Yep.
Like, no jokes, right? Just money shot after money shot of, you know, things happening.
The evil guy flexing with electricity coming out.
With his glowing chest and his weird bald face. You know,
when kids ask, why is there a love story? They could just fight.
Yeah, they could just fight. And oh my God, this movie delivers in nuclear vessels full of, like just awesome shit that you didn't think you'd see on screen, like a motherfucking bear with a machine gun. Like, I don't know what fever dream that comes out of, but it is amazing to see on screen. Watka
fever dream.
Again, like, I think this is an entertaining movie just based on that. It rises to the level of entertaining in that it delivers this visual style that is actually really fun to look at. And, you know, if the script had a polish and you could have done a little bit more, put in some jokes, I don't know what really Russian humor translates into what we would get as an American audience.
British, so.
Right. Maybe this is hilarious to Russians. Obviously not, because it didn't do well at the box office. But if they had polished this a bit, it would be a polished turd. But like it could be an awesome movie, right? Like, do it for them.
Could do that.
Do it for the motherland, right? But at least I was Kremlin with excitement when I was watching it, because I just wanted to see what absurd shit would happen next. Like, the part where the guy built the rock armor around himself and turned himself into, like, a linebacker, that was awesome. I loved the speedster guy. Like, having watched The Flash and some other things that have done speedster effects, I actually thought this was really original the way they did it. They didn't do, like, bullet time. They just had him, like, go zip, zip, zip. And then fucking terrifying the way he has these two giant scythes,
right,
you know, on him. I don't know how useful the superpower of I can turn invisible, but only when I'm wet is.
Moist,
right?
Moist?
Like, that to me didn't make any sense.
Until I get the suit made from the people that made me.
The suit that actually does it. But
it
again,
made sense,
like,
when you talked about the four elements.
Right.
But she's the best ass kicker they had.
Right. Like, she had other assets, if you know what I mean.
Phrasing.
But I still go back to Ursus, the bear man, the man bear, with the machine guns on his back. It will fire at wherever your aggression is directed. Right. Like,
you
I'm
stub
like,
your toe and it blows up the fucking kitchen counter. Yeah.
What? I just thought that was amazing. And like, the Marvel movies have yet to give me that moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, just something so completely batshit that you're like, okay, yeah. I mean, sure. The closest we came was maybe in like Infinity War when we had Winter Soldier and Rocket doing the spinny thing.
So great.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to get that arm. But I don't know. This movie, again, like, it's entertaining. It's short enough. And it doesn't really drag except in a couple scenes where you're like, okay, let's get on to the next thing. And it moves on to the next thing pretty quick. So that's about all I can say.
So where did you land? I'm sorry, we just...
That's entertaining for me. Kremlin with excitement.
You both are praising it so much. I'm really not going to venture off Putin out my eyes. But there are parts of it that make it unbearable for me,
yeah.
But it's like, I don't know, I can't, not right now, maybe it's a bad state of mind. Barf.
Yeah, no, I get it. I could see how this would totally rub you the wrong way if you went in with high expectations.
Yeah, I
went in with the expectations of this is the Russian Avengers knockoff, so yeah.
Yeah, my Avengers were way too expectation. Last word on Guardians.
Got that? I don't know.
Dos vidanya, comrade.
Yet.
Beef, what time is it?
Nose time without bears.
Okay. So, well, there are some bears.
Shit.
But, so... Avengers Endgame, right? Like, dropped about 60% this weekend.
Again.
Still number one at the box office. There was one day, Friday, Pokemon Detective Pikachu was the number one movie for like one day. But it still opened at number two at the box office with $54 million. I mean, nothing else really that exciting. I wouldn't really call that a flop for Detective Pikachu.
No, that's in the estimate. They were hoping between 50 and 60 million. They're straight in the middle.
Yeah.
And so I think we'll see the second week.
Yeah, I think they'll have okay legs in weekend two. I don't think they'll drop off the way we've seen Hellboy drop off.
No. And this movie cost $150 million to make, and they already made $170 worldwide. So they're okay. Everything in the next coming week is profit and word of mouth. So they're in a good place to start a franchise, which is a freaking video game movie. This broke all records for video game movie.
And so there it is. And I know we're going to come back to this soon.
At some point.
Right? At some point, yeah. Hollywood legend Doris Day, dead at 97. Sad, right?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
But 97, that's a good run.
97, that's...
Kind of the surprise news today, Disney bought out Comcast's controlling shares of Hulu, and... That's kind of a big deal, right? Because now Disney controls two streaming platforms, Hulu and the new Disney Plus.
We always knew that was the plan. I didn't thought it would be that fast, but that was the plan. So now they can drop anything that they don't really like to create for kids outside of Disney, which is a good thing because by losing Fox, we're losing some non- kiddie family friendly movies and Fox Searchlight,
sure,
Arch Picture and all this. So by having another distribution branch that they don't have to keep that kind of face,
and they can keep making your Handmaid's Tale and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you're giving Deadpools. People fresh TV, fresh
sure.
Right.
Go, and I think they said Ghost Rider was one that they were gonna put in there. So.
Yeah, give me some Ghost Rider. I happened to watch an episode of Agents of the Shield with that, yeah, with the image.
That's
there.
A good arc, yeah. The Ghost Rider stuff is good. And I just want them to port that character over because I think he's cool.
Agreed.
Stanley's ex-manager has been charged with elder abuse, and there's a warrant out for his arrest. This is something that was kind of whispered or discussed before Stanley's passing, but I'm glad there's going to be some kind of justice there. Right. I hate to think of what he went through, but it's nothing like Game of Thrones fans are going through right now. Am I right? Like,
is it me or it's not pretty good?
So there's a couple different schools of thought. One is that in order to tie everything up in a neat bow in six episodes, you know, you have to move quickly through some plot points in order to get to the end. The other thing is that, you know, maybe some characters have been ill-served by that.
Yes. Yeah, and maybe. On all fronts, yes. Okay. As someone who didn't watch it from the beginning, but got on like season three mainlined and then went from there, watch it like everybody every week. Have they rushed things this season? Yes. Is it satisfying if you take a step back and watch it all again? Yes. Did you see this heel turn coming? If you watch it, you clearly did. Every time that young person had a problem, it was tossed with fucking fire, usually from one of her dragons. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but usually she doesn't.
This isn't a sexist thing like I've seen all over Twitter. This isn't some big sexist flare of whatever. Yeah. This isn't the end of the sexism world again. Let's not get all up in arms about that. She has been an evil Targaryen from the fucking beginning, as everyone thought or potentially thought. It's not, I mean, sometimes people are bad. Luke, I am your father. Holy fuck. Like, people sometimes go to the dark side quickly.
But I think thinking about it and seeing where they were going, I think what's really happening,
it is way rushed, though,
is that when this happened in a book, you're going to have like 1,600 pages
to set it up. Yes. Yeah.
If they add to
if
other
the books,
books
ever come out, which maybe they won't.
The thing that I'm wondering is why HBO at some point was like, this needs to be over. Does that cost them so much money versus what they're winning?
And on a top, though, too.
I have a thing where
it's also most pirated show.
So this is ending on season 8, right? Like, if they had done through season 10 with the same budget that they're currently spending on season 8, right?
Yep.
Stretch that out, give me more character development, give me more episodes like the first two episodes of this season where nothing really happened big, but you had a lot of character
development.
Yeah, you
needed that. Even like the one after the White Walker War, you needed the slow shit. Go on.
Yeah,
that was the best episode. Yes. Best episode of that too. I mean, the White Walker War. As we talked about it, we're like, I've seen nothing, but
I didn't mind that
the,
either.
The aftermath were interesting. Here, I'm just like, okay, if we had the time to live the aftermath like we did in every other season,
right.
Remember when Arya walked for 2 seasons?
Yeah.
No, I.
So when Gendry rode his boat for like 5 seasons,
we're not worried about the travel time or any of that anymore. They gave up on that long ago when they decided to kill the show. But as if you take all that shit out, which we don't worry about the travel time. We haven't for like 2 seasons when they sent Gendry to run from the wall to send a letter to Daenerys to get a dragon up there, right? Like, we haven't worried about that. So if you look at it from that point of view, this is still a pretty fucking satisfying wrap-up to everything we know. We'll see what happens next week. But the writing's been on the walls. Coin flip, Targaryen, who the fuck
and
knows?
I would say with the Targaryen thing, we have seen... and I guess we're, you know, fully in spoiler territory if you are not caught up with Game of Thrones. So sorry.
Share the spoiler alert with me tonight.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, God.
But Daenerys has been, from season one, pretty cutthroat, right? Like, the motto of House Targaryen is fire and blood. She has said over and over, bend the knee or die. I will take what is mine with fire and blood.
Always with fire.
Yeah, and I think there have been people in her orbit that have tempered her worst impulses. She had Jorah Mormont. Mm-hmm. She had Miss Sandy. She had Jon Snow when she still trusted him. So she had all of these.
He didn't know it was his aunt.
Right. So now she has lost her best friend, you know, her closest supporter, her, you know, boyfriend, lover boy, fuck boy, turns out to be her nephew. All of her advisors are kind of turning against her and, you know, to the point that they're going to commit treason.
It would turn most people mad, not just a Targaryen.
And her thing always has been, I want the people to love me. I want the people to love me, and I want to rule them as a just ruler because I want to get rid of tyrants, right? And the wheel keeps turning, and I'm going to break the wheel. And what we see happen here, and she says it herself, that like there's a line in the show where she said, it's, you know, I either need to be loved or I need to be feared. And she says, all I have left is fear. And
fear it is then, or whatever.
Yeah. And King's Landing, for what it's worth, has been a revolving door of tyrants, one after the other. From,
well, not anymore. She just fucking burned it all.
Right. She just broke the wheel. Am I right? Like, she broke the thing. And
everybody's mad
now,
that Arya didn't knife Cersei. Well, Arya's going to either knife the dragon or Daenerys.
Yeah, I don't think I'm mad about the same thing most people are. I'm mad that the episode was boring as fuck. That's
Except
what I'm mad about.
Except for the incredible battle sequence that was...
Which battle sequence?
Basically the firebombing of Dresden.
Some of that was fun.
I saw Rhea bumping from one wall to another for like,
you know,
10 minutes before there was one moment of around 35 seconds that was of importance.
Do you know why that was? Because she was put in the city for us to care about what the fuck was happening to the people of the city. Because she was running for her life. Do you know?
Ooh. I get that. If you give me an episode of 80 minutes of a show that is built on suspense between characters and Game of Thrones.
I know. It was way too much of the city.
You're not giving me... I watch Independence Day.
Right, they were trying to make
it. I'm not interested in watching it. I'm not turning on to watch Independence Day. I'm watching, at best, to watch Lord of the Ring. At best. At better, to watch the best that Game of Thrones had to offer when it elevated himself higher than that.
Correct.
Now they're doing what everybody else is doing.
They were trying to make it poignant and horrible, but they took it too long. Which I understand, and they rushed other parts.
If you're wondering why it was rushed, well, it's official that David Benioff and David Weiss will be the directors, producers behind the next Star Wars film after Rise of Skywalker. So, like,
clearly the problem.
Who has more money than HBO? Oh, how about Disney and Star Wars?
That's clearly
the
problem,
but don't
rush
when
that.
No, but they got that jump when HBO said that they were stopping at season 8. What I'm wondering is that where is the business decision that's saying that not keeping Game of Thrones going for another 2 years at 10
even if
episodes?
even if they weren't the showrunners?
Okay, so how about
right?
this?
Like, yeah,
how about,
I don't understand that decision at all because right now it's a dragon economy.
Not 2 years. Let's just call it 3 more episodes or 4 more episodes this year, even if they were all 80 minutes. Make it a last season of 10 episodes or 9 episodes of an hour and a half.
I think too long episode right now is proving that it's playing against them. When they had to wrap up in 45-50 minutes, they were tighter. Right now, they're
It's
like,
and also,
the Star Wars people
things,
when there was only Yes Men.
Things tend to collapse under their own weight, right? We have seen shows that have built a massive mythology collapse, like, to flub the landing, right? Like, Fringe, Lost.
No, hold on. Out of all the shows that have closed, I would say Breaking Bad is the best. Fringe is close to second best, and Lost is close to the bottom. What else is closed that's been good with some sort of mythology?
I always had issues with the end of Battlestar Galactica, yes, but maybe that's a personal...
Battlestar is closer to the bottom as well, but I still think Fringe tied it around better than Battlestar did, because Battlestar suffered from the Lost syndrome of having too many fucking mysteries out there and shit out there, where at least in the comfortable zone, I say that this is firmly second or so. Game of Thrones is firmly second or so after... Breaking Bad because it's closing up a lot of shit so far. I won't know till next week.
They're closing it, but they're not sticking the landing. It's not as satisfying as you said earlier. Breaking Bad. When you finish Breaking Bad, you're satisfied.
Yeah.
Right now, everything I'm seeing, I'm not satisfied.
I'm going to say another thing that's going to tie into something that will come up after our massive trailer dump. After we take this dump, but. Sci-fi show runs for 7 seasons, closes basically with a season and a half long war, ends in a really satisfying way. Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Star Trek, yeah.
Yeah.
But the first season is rough.
Oh, the beginning of that show is super rough. As I learned in the documentary, it found its way when they stopped caring about the fans and writing the show for themselves.
That's usually what that helps. Look at Star Trek this year. When they stopped listening to the crybabies that were like, oh, well, the canon is not exact. I was like, fuck it. I have a good show. I want to watch my Star Trek show.
Okay, guys, let's.
We have to poop really bad.
We gotta bear down, okay? Roll up the ball up the TP and take this massive trailer dump. We have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Five, yeah, a lot six, of turds. Seven, eight, a lot nine, of corn.
Ten,
a
lot of ten turds, yeah. Trailers. Okay. Blinded by the Light. Do you guys like The Boss? Do you guys like Bruce Springsteen?
This feels like
Yesterday.
What's the other one we're talking about with the Beatles music or whatever? I don't know. It feels
Yesterday.
Like, yes. Okay. Yes. So that one.
Yes. Yeah, it's a feel-good movie with music that we all know that we're going to watch a Saturday afternoon.
Bend It Like Bruce, right?
I like it, the time frame and all that.
HBO's The Righteous Gemstones. Looks good?
I'm sorry, I took all that dump at the same time. I have to
remember. Yeah, me too.
Yes, this one was fun.
This one looks really good. It looks quirky, and it takes a poke at something that is huge in America, which is the, you know, cult of religion.
Yes.
Yep.
I know Beef is a fan of Crazy Rich Asians.
Crazians.
So I don't think we can use that word.
Why?
The Farewell.
Which one was this one?
This is the best trailer we got of Dying
Grandmother, but the family's not going to tell her she's dying because, you know, that would upset her. So they're just going to go hang out, pretend everything's normal.
Oh, I didn't get that from this. I got like the dad or someone else in the family was dying, not the grandma.
Yeah, well, watch it again.
Ew, snotty. But this still looked great.
It's
this
a trailer,
phenomenal.
Beef.
Yeah.
Get your head out of the bag of craisins that you're eating.
I didn't. I didn't see this and say craisins. This was. I just saw a funny feel-good movie.
Yeah. No. Just live with it.
Mix up genre, horror movie, The Lodge.
I don't care about that one. This is the kids
creepy,
alone with the...
new stepmom.
And the kids are crazy.
Stepmom.
I think the kids are crazy.
No, they weren't. The stepmom was in a cult. And
the
cult is coming back. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
So the kids
aren't
crazy. I think the kids are crazy. I think this one's going to pull the rug out.
They're trying to drive her away, so they're
on
her.
They're like, oh, I think she's a survivor of a cult, and then they're going to be like, the mom was a survivor, and they're the offspring of a cult, or I don't know, something. I'm calling it. I feel it. It's weird.
Sci-fi robot mother, I Am Mother.
Okay, I was in until it turned into an horror movie. I loved the idea. I was like, okay, I'm back in Moon in the ear a little bit, but now they know they're close. Okay, I'm there. Where are we going? This is
Skynet,
Portal a little bit. No, well, it's Portal. It's really Portal.
But see, if you were in that far, give it. It's Netflix. It's free. You already paid for it. I was in. And then I was like, oh, this is Netflix? I get it for free? I'm really in now.
which brings me to the next thing. Every time that they say a Netflix movie, since I haven't liked one yet.
Well, this is a limited series.
Well, that's already better, because that they're good at. But when it's Netflix movies, usually it's a high concept that they want people to talk about. Bird Box. And that's it. The movie's not really good.
So how about Bridget Jones as an evil cougar?
Yeah, right? That's what I'm talking about.
Lobster, what do you think about I Am Mother? Come on, what the fuck?
I'm fine. How are you doing? Because I'm a potato. I don't know. Like, I like the twist of, like, they're Skynet, and, like, this one robot is raising a human child because they need humans, except they need humans to love them, and that's how you do it. You become the parent. I don't know. I'm intrigued.
Why did you say
probably would watch?
Why did you say I'm a potato?
That's from Portal. That's a Portal reference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Portal 2, I think. How are you doing? Because I'm a potato.
I'm a potato.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
What if?
Yeah. Nope.
Okay. Moving on. Lego DC Batman Family Matters.
Okay. There's a reason why these Lego movies that were in theater don't make as much money anymore. It's because they release some of this bullshit every 2-3 months. Why would you?
Yeah,
go
I was
theater?
Really disappointed with this, because I knew it wasn't going to be the same as the Lego Batman movie. But I was like, maybe they were like, well, we can't do a full new Lego Batman movie, but maybe we could play with some of that stuff. And this, like, just is different, right?
Yeah, I watch a bunch of these on, we're talking about Netflix. There's like a Flash one, there's an Avengers one.
And they're Legos.
Yeah, exactly. They basically take some cutscenes from games and
make, that's what it looked like.
And make others in between. And now this, I think it's the first time that they actually write a story just for that, so they're trying to see where it's going. But if you ask me, it just cheapens the brand.
Yeah. I don't need this in my life.
Yeah.
Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. This is the sequel to the Maleficent movie, which I did not see. So therefore, this trailer made no sense.
Yeah, me neither. So let's move on.
It's just Angelina Jolie, like, vamping, right? Like, there was nothing here that made me go, oh, yeah,
is
right.
Is she, like, 12
Michelle
pounds?
Pfeiffer is still hot.
I think she is going to do a Marvel movie. I think she's going to do Eternals.
Yes.
And this was, okay, do this thing, either because she wanted to do it or just, like, they had it as pay and play, pay or play in the contract, and they decided that play was better than pay, so they went with it.
I heard there was a bonus for the writer. It was the writer that wanted to get that made.
Cool. Chapter 2.
Oh, I love that trailer, because they give you just enough of a scene and just enough of scares after to put you back in the mood. So it's that was well done. And let's face it, everybody that's interested saw the first hit, so they know the first it, so they know where they're going with this.
I think it will be a hit. So
probably, yeah.
Interesting to see what happens. Beef?
Sorry, I was reading something else. What the hell? This is... The cast looks amazing. I'm ready to see it, and it looks sufficiently creepy as shit.
It does. I love that scene that they set up the trailer with.
Oh, the
most
daughter?
Of the trailer is like... Yeah, most of the trailer is just one scene, and then they're like, oh, my daddy was in the circus.
And then you see like this old... You see this old tent that says Pennywise the Dancing Clown, and in the background they do that kind of like jerky stop motion shit, which freaks me out.
Okay, Beef. One more trailer. I don't know what the hell to say. What is this?
Apparently there is a movie coming out which is part Sharknado, part Nazi zombies. What was the name?
Iron Sky. Right?
And part... Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow, mixed in a blender and poured out into a movie that is lovingly called Sky.
Gee, what would you call it?
Sky Sharks.
Gee, that's a hell of an act. What do you call it?
I mean, it's...
I love it. In plot keywords, you have splatter comedy, Nazi zombies, and flying shark.
I mean, it's...
it's amazing. Okay, this... We just reviewed one of those.
Right.
This is setting itself up to be... We know it's going to be so bad, we're going to make it good. The trailer made me laugh as crazy and made me think about the movie we just watched. So, I'm down for that. When are we reviewing that one, Beef? This is a German movie.
I don't think it's
movie.
A real thing. I don't think it's real. I don't
I'm
believe
on IMDb
it.
Watch it, looking at the credit and when it's going to get released.
I will, watch it. I just need to make sure I'm sufficiently fucked up, like in your state or apparently Colorado or somewhere is soon going to legalize magic mushrooms.
You need high sharks is what you need.
It stars Diana Prince, Tony Todd, and Naomi Grossman. I don't know. I know Tony Todd. So
Candyman.
I don't know.
Candyman.
Last words on this toilet. We got a flush of these dumpage.
I think in here there are three good trailers. It, I Am Mother, and The Farewell.
I will also check out The Lodge, maybe, and The Righteous Gemstones for sure.
Okay.
What was the Blinded by the Light one again? Fuck. See, so many trailers.
The other cult? There was two cult thriller. There was another one where they were going on vacation.
That was The Lodge.
No, that was the Lodge was with the kids.
Blinded by the Light was the music one.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen.
Fuck. I don't know. There's some shit in here I'll watch, especially when it all shows up on Netflix.
And, of course, Sky Sharks.
I can't wait for Sky Sharks. I can't wait. We should go to the theater watch that.
No, we have to be sufficiently fucked up to watch it.
I went to the theater last night for the special Fathom event screening of Star Trek Phantom Menace. Star Trek. So I almost wore a Star Wars shirt because I was digging through t-shirts. I'm like, I got to wear like a sci-fi tee. And then I was like, oh no, I can't wear my Star Wars shirt because all the Trekkies that show up will beat me up for that.
They would kick the shit out of you.
And then they would need to use their asthma inhalers. And like somebody might go to the hospital. In all honesty, I'm a huge Trekkie, as you guys know. Probably my favorite series is Star Trek Deep Space Nine, a special place in my heart. And this documentary, What We Left Behind, which was hosted by Ira Stephen Bear, who was one of the head writers, was just this fantastic look at what really is kind of the ugly stepchild of Star Trek. Like, Deep Space Nine does not get a lot of love, despite the fact that, like, in terms of consistent quality, it's one of the best shows in Star Trek, possibly series of all time, right? Like, really, really good show once it gets on its feet. And really kind of an emotional roller coaster. It got damn dusty in that theater between me and all the other Trekkies. And some really fun things that come out of this. The thing that kind of surprised me the most is they get the band back together. In like some of the head writers of Deep Space Nine, including, you know, our fan, our whiskey drinking podcaster, Ronald D. Moore of Battlestar Galactica. Who went on to do BSG. They get five of them in a room together, and they break episode one of season eight of Deep Space Nine, which accounts for the time jump of being 25 years later, and saying, okay, where do we go from here? And then so throughout the movie, that is fleshed out and storyboarded in a really cool way, what that could look like, as well as some great interviews, great behind-the-scenes stuff, some musical tributes, and just a really cool look at this series from its creation to, another feature is they have cast members read fan hate mail from the 90s, and then they talk about how streaming has influenced and how this show really holds up. Another really cool part of the documentary is there's about 22 minutes of footage that they go back and remaster in HD, which has not been done for this season or this series. TOS and TNG have gotten the HD remaster re-release on Blu-ray. Deep Space Nine has not and probably won't. So if you want to see what this show could look like in HD, and it is gorgeous. Like, just bringing out the colors and the set design and everything, the lighting, amazing. So you had one shot to see this in theaters, but it will be out on DVD, Blu-ray, and streaming on August 6th. A strong recommend from me to check this out if you're at all interested. Now I want to go back and rewatch the whole series. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great review, and I really like to say, nerds. But if I were to rewatch...
We had a good time.
If I were to rewatch any of them, it'd probably be this, because... This started, what, in like 93 or 94?
Yeah, so they talk about that, and they say, so obviously one of the big things with the series is black male cap or lead raising his son, and they talk about, there's a CNN documentary about the 90s, and they're like, Homicide: Life on the Street was one of the only shows on television to show an all-black cast acting in the same scenes together, and they're like, no, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, repeatedly, like, through the thing, and, you know, they talk about the character of Major Kira, who is a terrorist slash freedom fighter, and how you couldn't really do that today, and how the show was kind of ahead of its time in... telling a serialized story the way really no one was doing outside of soap operas. But now, like, every show, hello, Game of Thrones, Battlestar Galactica, all of these shows, Breaking Bad, so influential. Deep Space Nine was one of the first genre shows to do that.
Well, I was going to say I remember watching it a little bit when I was, like, 13 or 14. So
yes.
I will definitely try to revisit it, because... It's the only one that's actually Star Trek property that's ever touched me on the feels.
Of course. And you touched yourself to Major Kira, I'm sure.
Most likely.
Wing?
No, DS9 for Wing?
I was a big Voyager fan, so DS9 came way, way, way later. And I have to confess that I'm... Currently it's season 5. Like, currently, this is what I watch when I'm going slowly to sleep at night. Not because the show is bad, because I like watching Star Trek.
Yes.
So I can't come. I was not listening too much about what you were saying, because I was like, la 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 la.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think
liking
the part,
it a lot, though.
The part where you find out that, you know, Dr. Bashir is a serial killer, and Garak is his gay lover. Like, you know, that is all that you see coming, right? Like, that's not
phrasing.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of fun with the show, and I even got a Shark Tackle to watch a couple, and she was like, "Am I really gonna watch a show with a Ferengi?" And I was like, "Yes, and yeah, you're gonna love him."
And the Ferengi episodes, honestly, are some of my favorites, because Ferengis are humans from the 20th century. Like, that's their commentary there.
Yeah, I love it. So yeah, it's a show that's so well rounded. I just love it right now. As you say, I'm watching it, 20 years later? 25 years later?
Yeah, totally holds up. So it aired 93, from...
93, I think.
Yeah, 93 to 97 or 8, I don't know. Like, it ran for 7 seasons, which so did TNG and Voyager, in syndication, which isn't really a thing. So I started... you know, with TNG reruns and Voyager, and then because Voyager went on UPN, we didn't get that channel for some reason, so then I switched over to watching, like, exclusively Deep Space Nine, and then got sucked into the whole Dominion War and everything, and, like, so solid, so cool.
Voyager was the first one that I caught in French on TV in the days that was important for me to watch a show.
Les voyageurs.
Le voyageurs.
The voyeurs. That's a different show.
Seven of nine.
The voyageur at this point. It's weird what word we decide to keep in English and which
wait,
one we
say
don't.
Seven of nine in French.
Sept de neuf.
Yeah, there you go.
This is,
and I think we've all said enough. Do you know what I mean?
This has been episode 422 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, never mind. Next time, Legends Podcast, Pokemon, Detective Pikachu, Wing, well played.
I'm so happy. Pika, pika.
This has been episode 422 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, glad we did that twice.
I'm John D saying, Pika!
I'm John O'Lobster saying, for the will of the prophets, for the guardians, for the motherland!
Yeah! Where's the Birdman next time?
Right.
Squirtle? Jesus.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.